Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Pacific Beer Chat records on the traditional unceded territory of the Coast Salish First Nations, including the Halitsum, the Catesy, the Kwantlen, the Kwikwetlem, the Matsqui, the Musqueam, the Kakite, the Semiahu, the Squamish, the Tawasin, the Tsleil-Waututh, and the Stalo First Nations.
Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Mike.
I'm Warren.
I'm Cam.
I'm Jordan.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Simon.
And where are you from?
We're from Nelson Brewing Company.
Awesome. Yeah. And that's in, obviously, the town of Nelson in the Kootenays.
It is. Beautiful town. And it's a pretty cool brewery, too. It's in a heritage building. And I believe it was a brewery at one time, a long, long time ago as well.
Yeah. So it's been a brewery since 1982. Sorry, since 1882.
Oh, geez.
Right. Now, there was a period in there where it wasn't being used as a brewery, I think. But yeah, I mean, Nelson Brewing's been going since, I want to say, 80s or 90s, right?
91. Yeah. We're just coming up on our 30th anniversary, like May 15th. Yeah.
Excellent. We'll have to talk about that. So May 19th, is that what you said?
May 15th, but May 19th is my birthday, so that's also an important date that everyone should get.
Definitely.
So you obviously have some big plans in the works for the big 30th anniversary?
Yeah, we have the release of our old brewery pale ale, one of the beers that we brewed back in the day in 1991, and so we're stoked to be bringing that back. Obviously, we can't be celebrating as we would like, because of COVID, we can't have a raging party here at the brewery. But we're going to try our best virtually over social media. We're bringing back some old vintage merch that people have been requesting nonstop. And yeah, hopefully when things open back up, we want to do some tap takeovers and stuff. But around town on the big day, on the 15th, we're going to be doing a town takeover. So every bar in Nelson will have the old brewery ale on tap. So,
nice.
Yeah, at your leisure, you can stroll the patios that we have down Baker Street here in town and sip on an old brewery ale.
Right on.
That's exciting. At least there's something you can do, right?
Yeah, we'll make the 31st a big party, hopefully.
Yeah, let's hope it's the 31st.
I feel like you just jinxed that.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, 10 people outdoors, right?
Yeah. I'm guessing you guys don't have a patio, or do you now?
We got a pretty small patio. The city actually, in this latest health order, allowed us to start serving flights on our deck for the first time. So we built some little bars out there. Nice. But it's like, it's about the size of a household stoop sort of thing. So
yeah. About the same as a tasting room.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I was going to say, the tasting room is pretty small. It's not like they had to close a big lounge or something, right?
No, yeah, we've been lucky in a sense that we didn't have a giant room that we had to close. We've kind of come out a little better because we have the deck now, the stoop, which is super exciting for us. It's lovely on a sunny day to see people enjoying a flight out front on Latimer Street here. So yeah, it's nice.
Yeah,
hopefully you get to keep it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, should we dive into this first beer?
Yeah, Jordan, you beat me to it. I was going to say.
Great minds think alike, Cam.
All right, so what are we going to taste first?
This is the Happy Camper Summer Ale. So this would be the fourth summer we started brewing this beer, but we really tweaked this recipe heavily every year, and extremely this year since its original brew. But yeah, so it's kind of transformed quite a bit, but it's brewed as a session ale. It's pretty exclusively New Zealand hops, mainly Rakau and Nelson Sauvin. It's got a bit of Cascade in it as well, though. But yeah, it's pretty convenient for us being an organic brewery, like sourcing hops from New Zealand, because New Zealand doesn't have to use any pesticides.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're just, they have a pretty solid biosecurity system where they just don't have pests right now. So all the hops that come from New Zealand are currently organic. So yeah, so we're, this one is pretty like dry hopped mostly with Nelson Sauvin and a bit of Rakow, but there's a large part of Rakow and Cascade in the Whirlpool. But it's, yeah, it's pretty mellow in the hops. It's 4.2%, pretty light malt profile. But yeah, kind of every year we brewed it, we've subdued the malt, the crystal malt, and lowered the bitterness a little bit. And it just seems to be going, yeah, in the right direction.
But yeah, yeah. I'm not a big fan of the crystal malts myself.
It's got a really nice nose on it.
It does, eh? It's got it's sort of a mix between the floral and the citrusy and that. It's a really nice hoppy kind of face full of freshness.
I wouldn't be able to tell that it's Nelson hops in here from the nose, really. Like, I'm not getting that super winey thing going on. Yeah, you can tell it's a blend. But yeah, it's nice.
It smells great, though. And the color is really nice.
Yeah,
it's still got that, you know, that super amber kind of color. But yeah, super bright. You guys don't filter or anything, do you?
Oh, yeah, we still filter.
Okay, okay.
We're old school like that, but yeah, it's
looks beautiful.
Yeah, we not all of our beers are filtered, but yeah, we're pretty, we have a couple of hazies in our lineup now, but we're still pretty into our bright beers for sure.
Oh, wow. It tastes a little differently than I was expecting from the aroma.
Mm-hmm.
That is super refreshing.
Yeah, it's sort of a bit grainy or whatever. Like, you got the maltiness in there, but then hops kind of take over. It's not bitter, but it's got a really nice, like, mild fruity flavor.
Yeah, it's nicely balanced, but it finishes towards the bitter a little bit. I mean, this is super easy drinking. You could knock these back no problem.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, it's tasting like my camping trip last week to the lake.
Nice.
For sure.
Where'd you go? Fletcher Falls?
Oh, no. I have camped at Fletcher Falls. That is a beautiful
spot, isn't it? It's
yeah. Nice. Oh.
I've camped there a few times. Yeah, I camped there in the olden days when you could drive down there.
All right. I can't. How would you even drive down there? It's like such a steep trail.
We took a Volkswagen bus down there.
Oh, how apt.
Camperized. Fantastic. But yeah, the road was a little rough. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, awesome. No, I was up at Garland Bay on the other side of the lake there.
Oh, yeah.
Lovely spot, right on the beach. It's idyllic.
Yeah, oh, I love the Kootenays. It's so beautiful up there.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, for sure.
And now there's a few breweries, too. It's not just Nelson. You can pop into Speckled Hen and a few others up in that area.
Yeah. We have Angry Hen up in California.
Angry Hen, sorry.
No. Yeah. Which is doing awesome stuff right now. And then we have Backroads down on Baker Street. Torchlight in town, too. Who else have we got around here? Oh.
Yeah, in summer last year, Creek opened up. Wow. They're making good beers.
That's awesome.
There's one in Castlegar, too, isn't there?
Castlegar, we got Tail Out. They're making great beers. Yeah, it's really blown up in the area in the last few years.
Rosalind Brewery, or Rosalind Beer Co., I think, and Trail Beer Refinery.
Damn, time to get up that way again once we're allowed to travel.
I was up there a couple years ago for one of the big Torchlight anniversary parties.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I bet.
Oh, I'm jealous that they got to have a wild party.
Oh, this is a couple of years ago, so.
Yeah. Well, just save up all these special occasions, and then you can have an extra big party, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I hear 35 is the new 30, so.
Just make it a whole week thing.
Why limit it to a week?
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is so good. I'm going to be looking for this now, because this is going to be in my fridge over the summer, I think. This is super tasty.
Oh, it's disappearing quickly.
I can see this pairing well with a lot of different kinds of food, too.
For sure, yeah. It's we get, like, out of it from the Rakow hop, especially, like, a bit of stone fruit.
Yeah.
Like, maybe apricot character out of it or whatever. But, yeah, I think we're pretty happy. I think we finally have got it into a place where we like it a little bit more this year. Like, we've always obviously enjoyed it, but it's, we're just happy. It's hard to always be happy with your beers, but this year is like, we're like dialed it in. We really, really quite stoked the brewers where they at, but I've always found that brewers are really into session beers for whatever reason, like low ABV.
Yeah.
It's for a lot of brewers, and high ABVs often for the salespeople is kind of the.
Yeah.
But, don't get me wrong, I love my hops and IPAs as well. But yeah, I've got a huge kick for session ales and just, you know, making a flavorful light beers.
Well, especially in the summertime when you're knocking them back and you're already so thirsty, you don't want to be knocking back double IPAs, right?
Yeah, maybe it's because I live rurally now that I need to have a light couple beers after work instead of the 7.5% hazies. But yeah.
Yeah, Simon was living at the brewery here for the past. How long were you living at the brewery?
Yeah, my partner and I, Kat, we lived on top of the brewery for 3 years.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool suite. We had the best rooftop patio in Nelson, if anyone's ever been to the brewery. We had a pretty killer view.
Yeah, there's a few apartments in there, right?
Only one legal one, yeah. But,
okay, okay.
Yeah, we were in that one.
right.
But, yeah.
No, there is a bunch of different businesses. So there's the Oso Negro Roastery, which is attached to us, and they've been next door to us. I think they just celebrated their 25th anniversary.
Jeez. And I think I've seen collaboration beers with them in the past, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and we have a tofu company next door, so collaboration on the works there.
Another sort of fermentation.
Yeah,
yeah. We got a chai tea business. We did a chai tea porter with them once.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, and then we have quite a few. And then we have a bike park place, a couple carpenters, and just random. We have a woman who makes snow globes in one place.
Oh wow.
And they're quite famous snow globes. Like, she sells them in like pretty high end New York City stores. And it's it's just a building full of artisanal,
you know, that's
artists. And
it's like the most Nelson story I've heard.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Because the building was like built in 1982, it got grandfathered in with a manufacturing license. So the fact that
was it even what year again?
1882.
I was like, wait a minute, I've been in there. It's older than that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there are places in the building where you can see the rock from the side of the hill where it was built into and everything, right?
For sure, yeah.
If I remember correctly, last time I was there, it had been raining for a couple of days, and I believe there was some water seeping through the place.
Yep, that probably was true.
yeah, there's actually Ward Creek runs through. And back in the day, they would use that for water for brewing, or it was the Nelson Brewing and Ice Company. And like, we actually, it's built into the rock, so we have naturally cold storage.
Which it's always nice in there in August. I love going on tours when I'm up there and it's hot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's guaranteed cold zone, which is, I don't know why that's what super interested me when I came to the brewery. It was just like all the quirks.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah, if anybody listening, if you happen to be traveling, I don't know, maybe not this summer, but next summer, and you're up in the Kootenays passing through Nelson, try to time your travel so that you're going through Nelson on a Friday, particularly a Friday afternoon. That's when you want to stop in and go for a tour. I think they used to do them at 3:00. Is that still the deal?
Oh, because of COVID, sadly, we're tours right now. But as soon as COVID's changed, we don't have a set schedule. But yeah, definitely, if you call ahead or email, but we would love to have you. We love showing people around. There's so much history, so many quirks. We have like a Bruce, our maintenance guy, hooked us up with like a vintage steam whistle on our brew kettle. So every day when the brewers are done, they toot the steam whistle.
It's more fun. More fun than the steam whistle is if you're at Mike's Pub when they ring the bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Been there, done that. That's good time.
Well, why don't we talk about a little bit on the brewery side? What size brew house do you have?
Yeah, we got a 40 hectoliter or 34 barrel system. It's like a brew house. It's just like a two vessel system. So mash lotter ton and a one vessel and the brew kettle and whirlpool vessel in the other. Interestingly, because of the shape of the building, we can only fit 40 hect tanks in the building, which is a bit odd for us because we're a bit more production oriented. So it's always single brew per tank, which is not, you know, the most efficient always, but so we run on a 40 hect system. We've got these like pretty wild hand built silos on the level up that we get our bulk base malts in, our pale and pilsner. So it's gravity fed into our brew house from there. And then in the cellar, like we were talking about earlier, it's kind of blown further into the mountain. So we have a bit of natural cooling, but we have one room that can fit all our 17 fermenters. And then we have all of our conditioning vessels, because they're slightly smaller than our fermenter size, and then the next room into the cellar. So yeah, it's all very crammed. It's safe to say that we have maximized every inch of space in this brewery possible.
In the weird split level building.
Yeah, it's definitely not your conventional layout for a new brewery space. So it's it certainly puts a lot of work on the brewers in the cellar crew and the packaging team, but it's a bit of labor love because the building is just pretty rad and cool, and we can all have a beer on the rooftop and kind of reminisce. It's pretty good times. But we run on this 40 hex system, but we're always going into 40 hex tanks, which is just a bit of an odd anomaly for us. But
The only way to get away from that would be to do horizontal tanks, and then you could do bigger because you could go longer, but that's still not the greatest.
Yeah, for sure. We thought about it for conditioning tanks in the past when we were trying to maximize space, but for fermenters, we'd still want to go with the cylindrical shape that we're using. Mm-hmm. They used to, back in the day, have all open fermenters back there, which was cool, like when they opened up in 91. They certainly did a number on the floors. There was a lot of acidity that ran down on our floors back in the day, but it's a bit of a scene if you guys have ever seen it, but
it makes for a really interesting tour. I mean, I'm at the point now where I've seen so many breweries, the tours bore me to tears, but I love the tour at Nelson. I'll even go on it if I'm up there again, just because it's a cool space.
Yeah, no, it's we get a lot of shocked faces, and we get a lot of brewery owners say, oh, we should have some people come work here for a week to see. And then they'll be like super stoked on their current job.
Yeah, it's like sending somebody to storm for a week.
Yeah.
You're going to appreciate everything when you get back.
I was actually thinking Storm, even though Storm has nothing like Nelson Brewing. It's just,
no.
It's not that fancy new building or anything. It's
not your standard run-of-the-mill brewery.
No. It's a good use of space, that's for sure.
Well, I guess why don't you tell us a little bit about your tasting room, too, because it's a little bit smaller than most people are used to these days.
Yeah. So we didn't have a tasting room here until 2017, I think. And then, we built in the tasting room, and it's a small capacity. But now we have the two seats on the front, and we have a takeout window too. So if you still don't want to come in, then we have we call it the prison window. You can we can hoist up the window, serve beer and go. But yeah, we're doing flights. All our pilot brews are sold through the tap room too. So Simon is heading up an awesome pilot brew scheme here. So all the staff are super heard, and they want to brew a beer, they can. We brew it on the pilot scheme, and then we sell that through the tap room, which is awesome. The locals love it. Every time there's a new beer, they're super stoked, and it keeps staff motivated too, right? They love getting their ideas heard. So
is that the only place where you can get these pilot brews?
Yeah, unfortunately, it tends to be the ones that go well. Like, our most popular are the ones that we're scaling up. We're kind of doing a limited release a month sort of thing. The last beer we're drinking, the Astral Panther, is one of them. You know, they originate on the pilot system, but it's been we got the pilot system when we got the tasting room put in, and it was kind of the best thing ever for the brewers. Just, you know, we're pretty, you know, we have six core brands going, so we brew a lot of the same beers, and, you know, we take pride in that and tweaking the recipes and stuff, but
sure,
giving the creative outlet to all the brewers and letting everyone kind of run wild. So pretty big.
40 hex a bit big to do a pilot on.
Yeah, exactly.
Try something out.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's funny because for years we ran it as our let's not screw this up system, but the pilot system's been really nice, just to be able to, you know, when the tasting room was in full tilt, we were doing up to like a brew a week on the pilot system when we had time in the shoulder seasons anyways, and it's created a lot more. It's been great for employee retention and keeping brewers and honing in skills and just trying out new things. So
sure, yeah. And if something hits and it's selling like crazy, then make more, right? And
For sure.
Great idea.
Yeah. So,
how many taps do you guys have then? If you got, do you have all six on all the time and then whatever else you're brewing on the pilot or?
Yeah, we got 10 taps in the tasting room and depends on how, what we're doing at the time, but we'll usually have all cores on and then four of our, like, it'll usually be like one of our limited releases from the big brews and a few pilots on. This year we've been canning most of our pilots just because we actually shut our tasting room down, you know, in COVID for most of the part, like we stopped serving out of it and we're using it as a retail space.
Yeah.
We get a lot of dog walkers in the uphill neighborhood here that just want to come by and buy beer and not go downtown. So we kept the room open just pretty much for them for a long time.
It's nice to see it back open now though and having people coming through the door and they're stoked for their uphill dog walk for sure.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that uphill dog walk because when I stayed in Nelson for the big party at Torchlight, I stayed at the Nelson City Campground. And, you know, I'd been down at Torchlight and back roads, and I'm like, oh, I'll go up there. And it's a good hill.
Halfway, you stop for a rest. Eh?
Yeah.
You're real thirsty by the time you get there, though.
Yeah.
Oh, you got
that. I remember before 2017, and like everybody would walk up that hill looking for a tasting room or a tap room, and we wouldn't be able to offer them a beer. It was kind of just horrible. Horrible thing to do to people. So eventually we got tired of saying no and at least opened up a room so people could have a beer for the mission. But yeah.
Just the heartbreak on their face.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting model that like Nelson Brewing Company, when they opened up, like the kind of the theory was they didn't want to compete with local businesses back then. So they chose specifically not to be like a front of house model. And Mike's Pub in the Hume Hotel was like, when I moved to town 10 years ago, I was told that was kind of the brew pub for Nelson Brewing Company.
That's where you go to get the freshest Nelson beer on tap.
For sure. Yeah. It's so it was an interesting, like, different model, different perspective back then. You know, Nelson's always really collaborated with local businesses in the area and it worked out well for them. I mean, those businesses really grew the brewery. So it was a good model, but it's very different than kind of the modern new startup for sure.
Things have definitely changed a lot in the industry.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Excuse me.
So should we crack into this second beer here, your 30th anniversary beer?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
So, I saw a couple of glasses get emptied there. So
I'm really digging the label on this can. It's super cool. It's die cut, so it's got like a pattern around the edge of it. And it's got this super retro look to it. I'm just really loving this label.
Yeah, so we took inspiration because in the brewery itself is a vault of history, but luckily throughout the ages, everyone has been really good here at keeping and preserving the history. So we have filing cabinet after filing cabinet of old brewery labels from the 20s and like all sorts. Like if you're a brewery history nerd, then please come on down. We have lots to show you. But yeah, we whipped out all these old labels and we use hired guns for this label in particular.
Ah, okay. That's why it looks so nice.
Yeah, that's why it's got that die cut and everything.
we pulled out we held no stops.
Spared no expense like Jurassic Park.
Well, it's funny because I'm reading the text down the side of the can. It says, we're bringing the old brewery ale back to celebrate our 30th anniversary, paying homage to the classic, to this classic beer, our team brewed OBA, says OBA in quotation marks, which is what I know the old brewery ale is. And it says, brewed to the same exacting standards that you'd come to expect from the good folks at the Nelson Brewing Company. Here's to another 30 years. So, OBA is a term that I recognize being thrown around. I remember being at the brewery and speaking with the brewers and that, and they always referred to it as the OBA. So that kind of is cool to see that on the label.
Beautiful amber color on that one too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. This one's was a really fun one to like, we have all the old recipes from, well, about 92 on. I don't know what happened the first year, but
they didn't use recipes. No,
they were still practicing.
But like I'm looking at this old recipe sheet right here, and it's just like it's amazing how nice the handwriting was back then. For starters, But yeah,
you
like
still had just, to do it in school.
And it's like every all the notes on the yeast, like every brew was yeast was acid washed. And yeah, it was interesting seeing how this recipe developed a little bit over the years. It used to be just Sterling Goldings and like East Kent Goldings and Liberty were the dry hop. And then years later, where they started getting their hands on Centennial, they added that into the dry hop as well. So it's this interesting recipe where it also kind of like, you know, when the Nelson Brewing Company opened up, it was opened up by the first brewer and one of the first owners named Paddy Glennie. And this was his original recipe. And he came over from Wales, kind of like Sophia. and he rocked over with a bunch of brewing equipment and started this brewery. But all the beers were very English, you know, like we had, you know, Paddywhack, which is the English IPA. Back then it was called Strong Ale, but it was like a very malt forward English IPA.
Very English style ale. IPA, yeah.
Yeah, and an oatmeal stout. You know, the beers are all like, I mean, a lot of the old breweries in Canada were very English oriented, but it's so this recipe kind of was like their, to me, it looked like watching the recipe over years through a few different brewers' hands. It kind of was their migration into like a slight more Northwest style. It still got a pretty good crystal content for it, but it's,
yeah,
you know, it kind of
the hop content, right?
Yeah, exactly. So this one's got the current recipe is more reflective of where it ended off, which has got Goldings, Liberty, and Centennial as the dry hop. But yeah,
oh,
it's got a really nice aroma.
That is nice. Super balanced. There's not too much of that in the crystal. It's got a nice multi-body, but it's balanced really nicely with the hops.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of fruitiness, maybe a little tiny bit of earthiness. A
little earthiness, definitely. But it all works well. It's perfectly blended. Like,
definitely
this is almost as crushable as the other one.
Style. More of an English-style sort of pale ale.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's really balanced, really crushable. There's nothing's kind of standing out front, like it's not really hoppy, it's or not really bitter, it's not really fruity, it's not really grainy, it's all kind of just really nice balance.
Yeah. That it's bitterness hits just at the right time when the malt sweetness is coming in. And yeah, this is like it old school but refined.
Yeah,
it's an interesting recipe for me because there's like absolutely no Whirlpool hop edition or late edition. It's just Magnum Bittering Edition and then dry hop, which I mean, you don't see as often in the modern pale ale, I don't think, but it's we kept it like that for this. I mean, over the years it definitely migrated to slightly more dry hops, but ever so slightly. I mean, it's still pretty modest, and I think this version of it is slightly more dry hopped, even more, but yet still quite modest comparatively to most beers in the market these days. But
dry hopping isn't a traditional English ale style thing to do.
No.
Nothing do in brewing these days really is, though.
No, things have changed a lot. I mean, you think about the early 90s when Nelson first started up again, and you're talking about the availability of certain hops and things like that. I mean, there wasn't a lot of ingredients back then, and the hops that were available were mostly being grown specifically for like Molson and Labatt's. There was no middleman to even buy them from, really. You'd have to go to the farmers and stuff. So I mean, I can see them facing challenges starting up just trying to source ingredients back then.
Yeah, for sure. I listened to the Steve Jessler was just talking in the Western Canada Master Brewers Association AGM last week, and he was talking exactly about that, how he was like, the only hops we had was Cascade and Cascade. So, it's pretty cool seeing his photos of, how their brewery opened up in very humble beginnings for Sierra Nevada. And, you know, it wasn't that different of an era of NBC when I see the photos of the early 90s and the tight acid wash jeans and mullet and where work safe wasn't a thing. And it was pretty wild, the Wild West back here.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a... Certainly, we're under a bit more regulation these days, it feels. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
keep your eyes peeled on social media because I have a killer photo of all the original owners and brewers having a hot tub in the, are they in the hot back?
I believe they're in the hot back for that one. Yeah.
And they're smoking cigars and drinking whiskey.
Wow. We're going to see some good social media posts around the 30th anniversary.
Oh, yeah, we have so much history. Oh, so awesome. I have so much lined up ready to fire out. I'm so
excited. I hope you got some good embarrassing pictures of Al.
Oh, no, there's no embarrassing pictures of Al because Al has been like a, he looks the same as he did 30 years.
He doesn't age, but I think that's partly the Nelson air.
Yeah.
The less so stress of living in the Kootenays.
Yeah, Al's pretty laid back.
Definitely.
Well, this is delicious. I wasn't aware that the old brewery ale had gone away, but I'm happy to see it back.
Yeah, no, it's definitely gone through transition, and I know this is podcast, so this is useless to our listeners. But wait, I have
that's cool.
The
old 2 liter bottle.
Yeah. 1 liter plastic.
1 liter plastic bottle. That's I have an old poster on my wall in my kitchen that is like from the. Must be from the mid to late 90s, and it's a craft brewery poster from BC with all the beers available back then, and that bottle is one of the ones in that poster.
We have that one hanging in a staff bathroom.
Yeah, we have that.
Nice.
Yeah, it was popular. I remember it being around a few different places, and it's got some really nice stuff on it. Some old tall ship and stuff like that. Just really cool historical stuff.
Oh, totally. I love it. I love all the old branding. I think it's so like classic and refined. I would bring it all back in a heartbeat.
I'm pretty sure they hand cap these PET bottles.
Really?
Yeah. And people loved them because it was like takeaway beer, but I think it was kind of like drink it within half an hour sort of thing. I don't think it was the most long lasting form of packaging, but
no.
It was.
Plastic bottles for beer doesn't seem to work very well.
Yeah, no, it definitely has a slight ingress of oxygen that was unavoidable. But it was, you know, how they started as a packaging brewery and how they got their beer at the door. So it was a good step for them until they bought a bottling machine, then a canning machine. But yeah. And there's certainly a lot of people reminiscing about how they were great, thrown in the backpack back in the day. You could go anywhere. So.
That's what I use crawlers for these days.
Yeah, exactly. They're good camping on the road beers.
Exactly.
Lighter than glass. And it's going to break.
A little safer, too.
Unbreakable, yeah.
So, Simon.
Yeah.
What's your brewing background? Were you always just starting? Did you start in Nelson, or what's your little story, man?
Yeah, I pretty much started. Well, so I grew up in Kingston, Ontario, and oddly enough, my first job at 12 was working for the Kingston Brewing Company.
Nice.
Up until I was graduated high school, and then I went off to school. I went and did an undergrad at Dalhousie in International Development Studies and Environmental Science, and totally worked a different career path for a little bit. But it wasn't until I kind of decided I was going to switch gears, and I'd worked a season in New Zealand and actually ended up working at a brew pub while I was there, but as a bartender, and started hanging out with the brewer quite a bit and kind of getting pretty captive, helped him on some packaging days and just getting interested a little bit in craft beer. And then I moved back to Canada, and a buddy of mine decided to do a Northwest American skateboard tour, and really got immersed in how amazing the beer was going on at that point. This was probably in about 2011. And then I moved up to Nelson in 2012 and was like, oh, I'm going to work at the Nelson Brewing Company's bar. Like, I'm going to go get a job there. They're going to be great. And I showed up at the Nelson Brewing Company. They're like, yeah, we don't have a tap room or a bar or anything like that. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really killing my whole plan. That wasn't very well thought through. So then I met the head brewer, Mike Kelly, at the time, and put my name in the hat. And when the job did open up 5 or 6 months later, I worked at another bar in town for a while, the Royal at the time. And when the opportunity did arise here, I jumped in and started working under Mike Kelly. And
got along quite well with him. And a year into my job here, I guess around 2013 sometime, I asked them if they would pay for me to go to brewing school, essentially. And they agreed. They had a bit of a budget for skill upgrades. So, started taking courses back then. And then, eventually, I think I asked to take more and more courses, much of schooling through Siebel and the IBD. And eventually, they just, I feel like they felt they invested too much money in me. And they had to offer me a head brewer job. Mike went on to open up Backroads here in town. So yeah, kind of just weaseled my way in. So I guess like all of my brewing experience has been here beyond some home brewing and stuff, but it's,
that's cool.
Yeah. And then kind of fell in love with the town and never left and got married and bought a house. And yeah, so
you can even do that there.
Yeah. But so the brewery has been pretty kind to me in the sense of like, you know, helping pay for my education and getting
that's
my start.
That's pretty
here.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Sophia, you're pretty new with Nelson Brewing, no?
Yeah, I am. Yes, I started in, I look after our sales and marketing, and I started at the beginning of December here in Nelson. Before that, I was at Backcountry Brewing.
Oh, nice.
And then before that, I was at Bridge Brewing back in the day. Yeah, so when I very first, so basically I moved to Canada 5 years ago, my first job was at the JJ Bean on Powell Street.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I got into beer by finishing our shift at JJ Bean and then going to Doan's every day.
I miss Doan's. Awesome. I so miss Doan's.
Shout out to Evan.
You went to Doan's every day. I'm thinking Cole Harbor was closer. And
Doan's is right there.
Doan's was right there, yeah.
Yeah, the next closest one would be like Steamworks or something. Parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Cole Harbor didn't have a tap room.
Never did, yeah.
But I did, some of the girls that worked behind the bar at JJ Bean also worked behind the bar at Parallel 49, so there was a lot of crossover there.
Ah, okay.
There was a lot of coffee being drunk, and there was a lot of beer being drunk.
God, yeah.
But
Doan's is the next closest place.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And Powell Street, too, across the road.
Yep. That's right.
So, yeah, my introduction to Canada was very much lots of beer.
It's a good introduction.
What about Odd Society Spirits?
That probably wasn't there yet.
No, I don't think so.
No, well, I think it was. And okay. I'm a big fan of their ginger beer, actually. It's a sensational ginger beer.
That was good, yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So, Mike, I remember sending you beers when I worked at Bridge back in the day.
Way back. I actually didn't make that connection, but yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Probably back when I still had mikescraftbeer.com.
Exactly. I was telling Simon, I was like, it's Mike from mikescraftbeer.com. Yeah. Do you remember?
It's still there. It's derelict, but it's still there.
Yeah.
So I moved on to this.
Moved to Nelson.
Yeah, so a couple of my friends here opened a bar, the Royal, on Baker Street, which is the pub that Simon used to work in when he first moved to town. It's all intertwined here.
Small town.
Friends open up the pub, and basically I was living in Squamish at the time, working in backcountry, and I kind of just wanted a change of scene. Squamish is super busy all the time, I found.
It's
often very difficult to get a spot to park your car at the lake. So I was kind of feeling like, you know, I want to buy a house and settle down and all those kind of big girl things. So I was like, Nicole's like, just come to Nelson. It's super sweet. And I have not looked back since. It's awesome. Just such a sweet town. So much art and culture and great.
Yeah, it is a cool place. I'm a big fan of that whole area around there, from Slocan Valley over to Caslow. I love that spot in the province.
Nelson's kind of neat, just the blue collar meets hippie.
Yeah, it's an interesting mix. It's an interesting mix. You got the loggers, and then you got the people down at the park there where the waterfalls are beating on their drums, right?
Yeah, not much changes around here.
No.
Yeah. No. You know, maybe a new brewery opens, but that's about it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky to have a really good, thriving, like, restaurant culture here. We get a bit of that kind of, like, well, we have the highest restaurant per capita in BC. And
really?
Yeah, it's, and we're, just a bit of an arts hub, and
Well, and there's
for a town of 10,000 people, we host quite a few things, which is cool.
There's not really that much in the name of chains out there either. It's all locally owned stuff.
Yeah, there's no McDonald's, to my dismay. I love
pizza. Isn't there one in the Walmart?
No, there's not. No, we have the really? AW, but that is it. And then everything else is independently owned, which is awesome.
I believe there's actually a bylaw in place that like impedes multiple chains opening up. There's a few that like snuck in, and at the mall there's some, but it's overall they don't really look too kindly to opening up too many chain restaurants here. So yeah.
Hey, that means all of the money stays in the local economy. So
yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
makes sense.
Totally. Yeah, like just these sunny afternoons and everyone's patios are pumping. Like walking down Baker Street is such a good vibe. It feels like you could be in San Francisco or something. It's
awesome. Yeah, big hill, lots of old buildings.
That's a good time. Good town to wander around. There's lots of good shopping and lots of neat little cafes and stuff like that.
Nice big lake really close by.
You got that right.
Yeah, good ski resort too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're lucky we've always been really intertwined with the Whitewater Ski Resort too. I don't know how hard of a fact this is, but they always have craft on tap, right? Since
they've,
they opened.
They've never had a corporate, like, big beer company on. Awesome. It's always been Nelson Brewing Company, and the other local breweries opened up there on too, and they just expand their taps to only local craft breweries. So, yeah, it's pretty cool. They're unique.
Well, that's one thing I noticed. That's one thing I really noticed when I was up in that part of the world too, is you go into your average restaurant or pub, and everybody had Nelson on tap.
Yeah.
It was very unusual to me at the time. I'm going back probably, 10 years ago at least. And it was unusual at that time to go into a restaurant or a pub and to find craft readily available. And just how available Nelson was up in that area of the world was mind-blowing to me. Clearly they had been, there and been working at it for some time. And been quite successful at it.
Totally. I feel like the community opened up their arms to the brewery in 1991. And the brewery's success has weighted heavily on how much the community loved Nelson, right?
Yeah.
The locals support it big time.
Yeah, I'm just happy that years ago I ran into Carly and Troy from the Lion's Head and Robson at a beer fest and made friends with them and finally came out to the Kootenays as an adult because I hadn't been there since I was a kid. Mm. So that's when I got to, tour a lot of the breweries the first time. I've been back multiple times now since, but.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Carly and Troy will show you a good time, that's for sure.
you may not find your way back to where you're staying, but you'll have a good time.
I've ended up crashing on their couch a few nights here and there when couldn't make it home from their fine establishment.
We stayed at the campground in Robson, probably a 20-minute walk from the brewery, me and my wife, and went to an event at their brewery, Taste of Castlegar, I think it was called. And, had way too much to drink. Walking back in the dark with a flashlight, bare on the bridge. I'm like, oh! To me, there was like three, but my wife said there was just one.
That sounds like a good night, Mike.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ross Vanderhoek, with Royal LePage Wollstonecraft Real Estate. Check out www.rossvanderhoek.com for all your residential, commercial, new development, and investment property needs.
So should we get into this last one?
Yeah, I'm
good to go too. Let's crack on these bad boys.
Loving this label.
Yeah, the art was great on this.
So the first thing I noticed about this one that sticks out is it's a tall can. The other ones were just regular size, but this is a pretty different artwork for Nelson too. Astro Panther Mosaic Black Lager.
Can you please read the write-up, Warren? It is fantastic.
There's a giant purple leopard on here.
Let's read that.
It's a panther.
This is insane. Okay, you ready? The beer is black. It's fermented cold,
Panthers are black, and it's cold in space. A smooth, dark lager with notes of coffee and chocolate, complemented by the hints of berry from the Mosaic dry hop. Okay.
I love it.
That's where the purple's coming from, is from the berry that you might taste.
So is this another different artist, or this is like so different than most of the artwork from Nelson?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, Sophie can probably speak to this better than I can, but our limited releases we've been doing in 473ml cans, which have been kind of a monthly release for us. The Old Brewery Ale is a bit of an exception because we wanted to make it more of a throwback to the original.
Yep.
So it's in 355, but it's, yeah, generally every month we're releasing a 473ml limited release that's scaled up from our pilot system. And yeah, the labels tend to be a little bit more out there and a little more creative and fun, just as kind of our limited release program.
Yeah, it's definitely eye-catching because I wouldn't have guessed, even though it has the NBC right in the middle, I almost wouldn't guess this is a Nelson Beer Co. Can until I pick it up, right? That's striking.
Yeah, no, it's totally different.
Just hired guns.
Oh, no, this is super deluxe.
Super deluxe.
Yeah, a super talented artist called Skylar who does these for us, and
Very cool.
Awesome. He nails it with the metallics and the
I was gonna say the way the highlights are like transparent, so you can see the shine from the can behind it. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a lot of fun, but this is definitely a staff success story. This is one that Ryan Kraft, our craft brewer,
nice.
This was his pilot brew, and this was his concept for the beer was he came into the office and wrote on the whiteboard that the beer is black, it's fermented cold, Panthers are black, and it's cold in space. He just wrote that on the whiteboard of Kate and Matt, our owners, and was like, guys, this is my concept.
Like, hello.
Yeah.
Ryan is also very fascinated with space.
Well, I got to tell you, this beer is a little all over the map. I'm not sure if I'd like to enter this in a contest because I don't know what category to put it in.
I like the nose.
It smells interesting. And then it's super dark, but it's clearly, clear. It's not cloudy, but it's very, very dark. It's got a super thick, rocky, tan head.
Yeah, it's
roasty, amazing. Roasty nose.
Coffee,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like the.
It doesn't actually have coffee in it, though, does it?
No, it's got no coffee in it. It's kind of designed like the base of the recipe is like a pretty traditional Schwarzbier recipe with quite a bit of Munich malt, a little bit of chocolate, a lot of dehusked dark malt. Carafa.
That's what I'm tasting. It's got that real coffee-esque kind of roast without the intense bitterness.
For sure. And it's, quite Munich heavy, Pilsner malt base. Kind of like a pretty standard Schwarzbier recipe. It's definitely on the dark side of the Schwarzbier. I think we call this one
it's
26 SRM. And Ryan wanted to go darker because he was really keen on the black space theme. so he was...
I can't see light even at the holding it up.
He was successful. It's black.
Yeah.
That's good. We'll have to pass on the feedback because so many times I came down into the brew house and he poured some out of the tank and he's like looking up at it at the glass and he's like, it's not black enough.
Yeah, he was very stressed that the beer wouldn't be dark enough.
Oh, it's definitely dark enough.
Just like Spinal Tap.
I don't know how much black.
None more black.
None blacker.
Yeah,
the lacing is beautiful though.
Mm-hmm. And the head just sticks around.
Right?
Yeah.
It's got great head retention. And the flavor is really nice too. It's super balanced. It's easy going. Even though it might, might look at this and an uneducated palate would look at this glass and go, oh, it's too heavy and it's going to be really thick and blah, blah, blah. No, it's not. No. It just looks that way because of the dark roasted malt.
It's got like you were saying, it's well balanced, but the maltiness, you get that little coffee without the bitterness. But I also am getting a little bit of berry flavor in the mix as well.
Yeah, you definitely get that fruity, that berry fruity.
Yeah,
this
is phenomenal. Yeah,
right on. Yeah, so we dry hopped this one with Mosaic at kind of in the diastole rest period when we ramped the temp up a little bit.
Okay.
So, and then we lagered it for a couple months. So we're pretty impressed at the hops still come through, you know, at the very end. And it's subtle, but it's, again, it's meant to be sort of a subtle beer. This is a classic example of, like, it's been one of the brewer's favorite beers, but we all love Schwartz beers. We like dark beers. But, you know, sales is always nervous when we say we want to brew a dark beer. It always seems to be.
Well, it's funny because, yeah, most people aren't educated enough to know that a beer that looks like this could actually taste light, right? So I think it's, if you can get past that barrier, if you can somehow talk people into closing their eyes and tasting it, then they would see the disconnect and start to understand that, okay, wait, a dark beer doesn't necessarily mean a heavy beer.
For sure.
Well, I find too, if you don't call it a Schwartz beer, or call it a black lager, more people buy it. Because I've literally watched
or a dark lager
boards from Oktoberfest where it says Schwartz beer, and then it's not selling 2 months later, and then all of a sudden there's a black lager on the board. And right. People are like, oh, I know, I like lagers. I'll try that.
They're
and
too afraid to ask what a Schwartz beer is.
Yeah. Just got to get the old people. May the Schwartz be with you.
No, you're right, Warren, because we sell a lot of this out the tap room because people can come in and taste it.
Right.
So people come in and, you know, have a taste of it and they're like, oh, yeah, I can crush that at home. That's not, it's not dark. It, you know, it's not as heavy as you expect. So,
yeah, you're right. You have a 4 ounce of this, and then, yeah, you're walking out with a 4-pack, right?
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, no,
and this is a, oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Sophia.
No, I was just going to say, this is a good one that you scaled up because it's scaled up to a limited release, but it's still organic.
Yeah.
Because the sales team, we always want a crazy new, crazy beer. ingredients are hard for Paul Simon here to source organically. So yeah.
that's a bit of a constraint.
Yeah, it has been. It's honestly though, it's been more and more so. Like 5 years ago, it was way harder to brew organically than it is now. It's just been a lot more opportunities, a lot more ingredients coming forward. And yeah, more breweries are doing it. So I don't know if you guys heard, Tin Whistle just announced that they're going all organic.
Is that right?
They did. With the new ownership.
Oh, wow.
And it's been like, you know, malt wise, it wasn't always a huge struggle because Brius and Weyermann and the States always had a good organic portfolio, as well as a couple companies out of Belgium. But now, we have Ian Armstrong Gambrinus, which, now offers like a pretty strong variety of organic malts too. So it's, so malt wise, it hasn't been as much of a struggle, but hop wise, it used to be quite hard to find organic hops. And that's really come our way over the last 5 or 6 years, and just lots of other ingredients that have, made it easier.
Where are you finding hops these days? The organic hops?
We get a lot of our hops from the Yakima Valley. We used to buy from like 4 or 5 smaller hop farms in the northwest of the States, which actually all kind of amalgamated with Yakima Chief Hops over the last few years. So they're now all part of Yakima Chief Hops. And we were like, oh, how is this going to affect our hop buying off these small farms? But really, they just all started growing all the proprietary hops we couldn't get before. So, Mosaic in this beer, for instance.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we had access to Sabro and Mosaic and all these things organically that weren't really in our wheelhouse before. So, actually, it's been, from that level, really awesome. We get, there's a Who Hops up in the Fraser Valley in BC. Sam, we've been working with him on a few beers because he's grown more and more. Like this year, he's got a bunch of Idaho 7 in the ground, which is awesome.
Nice.
And the Fraser Valley seems to be picking up a little bit. We put out quite a bit of beer a year, so we're looking for kind of large contracts, which have been we kind of do the big 3-year contracts at a time and looking for quite good volume and consistency. But it seems to be really developing for us up in northern, not northern BC, but Fraser Valley, BC. North to us, so a lot of Yakima, and we have a good relationship with a farm I've spent quite a bit of time at down in the Willamette Valley, called Oregon Hop House as well.
Nice.
And it's where we got more of our traditional English hops back in the day, like all the Goldings that's in that old brewery ale, and our Magnum that we use as a bitter hop. But and it's a really old hop farm as well that's always
an older relationship with the brewery.
Yeah, we've had quite a few old established relationships, which are great, and some new ones developing and blossoming. So that's awesome. But yeah, we're not as handcuffed to varieties as we used to be. It's not just Goldings and Centennial anymore.
It's always nice when things change, right?
Yeah, for sure. It's nice.
Just having variety, you know, having options is good.
Totally. No, it's, yeah, it's honestly, there's a really, like with organics, it's a philosophy the brewery took on in 2006, but it doesn't really handcuff us really too much anymore.
Good.
It's a lot more paperwork and a lot more effort, and it's certainly a higher cost ingredient, but it's definitely not a, it's not handcuffing up in our recipe development phase anymore. It's, yeah, there's no excuses about organics and
yeah,
the quality of beer you can make. For sure.
Nice.
Yeah, it probably would have been hard to do like hazy IPAs the way they're being done now back in the, like, you know, even a couple of years back, because you just couldn't get those hops, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, up until a few years ago when those proprietary hops weren't available to us organically, it was trickier, but yeah, it's, you know, and things like a lot of hazy IPAs have lactose sugar in it, and sourcing organic lactose sugar can be harder, but luckily Bose did that work for us when they made their Tom Green Milk Stout.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, they're pretty big.
Since we're sipping on this limited as series right now, do you want to divulge a bit more on it? Because I know you guys have already put out a couple before this one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah. So right now, probably out in the market, you might find some Power Leopard, which I don't know if you tried it, but it's a super good IPA. Do you want to talk about that? The Power Leopard?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know it's how to describe that beer. It's a bit malty, but it's like almost a malty, hazy IPA.
Yeah. It's, it's a hazy IPA done Nelson style, for sure. You might
see that
in the market. And then coming up, we have a coconut guava sour.
What kind of cat's that one named after?
Pardon?
What kind of cat's that one named after?
That one is not cat themed. For this one, I'm just kidding. so you have a coconut guava sour. Simon has been tirelessly getting that coconut toasted today, right?
Yeah, there was an organic coconut shortage for a while, but we sourced it. It was figured it out.
Yeah, you're saying, Simon, that it's easier for you to get ingredients.
Yeah,
the coconut was a bit of a fiasco.
We got the coconut. We got the coconut in the tank minutes before this podcast.
Oh, nice.
Oh God.
But that's awesome. We got that guava sour coming out.
Yeah, yeah, and then we have a tropical lager, which is super exciting. Oh, yeah. It's an iPilot brewed.
Oh,
baby from where? Yes, that's what's awesome about Nelson Brewing. Like, I was like fresh in the door, and Simon's like, "Hey, do you want to brew something?" And I was like, "Heck yeah, I want to brew a tropical lager."
He's just trying to find any sucker that'll shovel out the mash tun. Let's be honest.
Funny. Yeah, so I do sales and marketing, and I had to pop away during the mashing out. So Simon actually.
How convenient.
I know, yeah. I know.
Luckily the 3-barrel grain system isn't so heavy, but so we got this tropical lager coming out.
Yeah,
and then
tropical lager, super super easy drinking, but it has a bunch of hops in there, so you get that little bit of bitterness and a little bit of that fruitiness. And then after that we have Hyperbolic coming out, which is a smoothie IPA, and it's one that we brewed on the pilot system here, and it absolutely crushed.
It's like a bumbleberry mix. It's a blueberry, raspberry, blackberry with vanilla, sort of. Yeah, it's a pretty big 8%.
Yeah, wasn't it 9.2%?
Yeah, we're scaling it down to 8.2%. It was one of those, like, oh yeah, it's going to be 8%, and then we accounted for the sugar of the berries after, and turned into a 9%.
It always
sounds amazing.
Yeah,
it sounds like Jordan's going to go.
Yeah, I'm driving up there. Screw the provincial orders.
those are all your guys' way. Yeah.
Yeah, it's essential. I taste it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
Pushing in Dr. Bonnie Henry now.
Yeah. She doesn't listen to this anyways. We're okay.
No, but all these beers will be available in Vancouver. So these ones are the...
Is that right?
Ones, yeah, we'll be shipping province-wide.
So nice.
Yeah, cool. They've been out on your shelves. They're just in these funny cans you didn't recognize. But
have these tall boys.
Yeah. It's, we did a kind of Kvik IPA this year, which was like...
Oh, damn.
It had a horse on it to get away from the cat theme. we used like a Boss Kvik yeast. And, yeah, a bunch of... mix of cryo and T90 pellet hops, but yeah, it was
and well, we have
right up my alley.
Yeah.
Oh, I just say we have a white IPA coming up that's called Sorry It's Not a Seltzer.
That's great. I miss white IPAs a bunch, man. That's one thing I would wish that would come back around. I love a good white IPA.
Yeah.
I think Lighthouse just announced a new white IPA, but you don't see a lot of them at all. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, this one came around. They were bye-bye.
For sure. Yeah, this one's like, it's kind of like a hazy meets a white IPA. It uses a wit beer yeast, so it has a traditional Belgium yeast in it, but it's like full of cashmere and mosaic. Ooh. And like a traditional white IPA, it's mostly flaked wheat, unmalted wheat, like 50% of the grain bill almost.
Wow.
So it's quite like, yeah, it's, you know, it's full of adjunct. It's Yeah. We'll see how it goes in the mash tun on the big system, but it will be, it's a good recipe, though.
Rice hulls.
Yeah, exactly. We got some organic options for that now, too, so it's good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and did you brew claviceps this week?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
That was on the pilot system. That's a kind of something we're developing for the fall on the pilot system, but it's a rye sour that's dry hopped with Amarillo.
Oh, that damn. Sounds delicious.
Yeah.
I love rye.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, you guys are doing some fucking really cool shit. super interesting. I'm very excited to try most of these.
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt, though. no, for sure. It's it's a good part, like, of, you know, I think our brewers are pretty stoked because there is a, like, something fun about brewing the same beer around every year. And tweaking recipes that you've had forever. And then it's really nice to be able to play with these new recipes and kind of have fun with it too. And, you know,
sure.
Stay relevant as a 30-year-old brewery, hopefully, as well while you're at it.
But well, that's exactly it, right? So, you know, you don't want to become just set in your ways where you're making the same six beers day in, day out for the whole year. You know, it's nice to see some innovation and something interesting happening too, right?
For sure. Yeah, I think we're trying to strike a good balance of both.
Oh, totally. Because the maltier beers go down a treat here. Like Nelson loves it, right? Like more old school traditional beers, they still are absolutely killer here. But then you still get the guy that's come and drank NBC for 30 years. He's asking why Hyperbolic, the smoothie IPA, isn't on tap anymore because he wants his 9% growl fill. He loves that. So it's, you know, it's you've got to please all the crowds.
That's it.
It's difficult.
Sure.
It sounds like there's a lot more interesting things and innovation going on right now at Nelson than there might have been at some periods over the last few years.
Sounds like a perfect blend of both, though. You know what I mean? You got the classic pale ales and stuff, and now you got nutty fruit smoothies, like that white IPA. Sounds balanced for both worlds. I think you guys got a good thing going.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think the beer has got to reflect like us as a brewery in the town, and
kind of
find our own way with it for sure.
Yeah, but we got to give props to Matt and Kate who took over the brewery in 2016.
They're just coming up to their fifth year anniversary in May here.
You tell them about Matt and Kate. I feel like you...
Well, yeah, so I mean, I've been at the brewery for like 8.5 years now. I've been head brewer for 4 years, but so I saw the transition to last ownership to this ownership, but yeah, they've been really supportive about, you know, getting out of just the core brand scene and flexing into like a bit, you know, they bought us a pilot system, you know, right away.
Yeah.
And new speakers for the brew house. So we all love them right off the
bat. So we have to tell them Matt brought us a hot dog machine too. So we can grill up hot dogs in the staff room.
Nice.
So let's talk about that.
gotta keep the team happy, right?
Yeah, totally. But yeah, like Matt came from an NHL background playing professional hockey. Kate is like a born and bred Kootenai gal. Her dad used to be mayor of Nelson, and her dad used to have shareholder ownership of the brewery here before okay. she did. So like that their roots in the Coots run deep. And that shows in the brewery and the staff awesome. And like how happy everyone is and how much they're willing to put in to see the good work come out, basically.
Yeah, so
I think you guys should drop a last name now. You said an ex-NHL player. Come on now.
All right, yeah. Matt Walker. Kate okay. Walker.
Nice.
Matt and Kate Walker, yeah. But they're here nice. At the brewery every day.
Yeah. He's a bit of an enforcer on the ice. He's a bit of a softy now. But,
pop in for a pint and an autograph.
Yeah.
And don't talk shit because he was an enforcer.
No, yeah. We all heard Matt Walker was buying the brew. We all started Googling Matt Walker, and it was a lot of videos of guys getting punched out, and we're like, holy shit.
Those guys are always the nicest ones, though.
Yeah. And he pulled into the brewery with his three daughters and, you know, friendly eyes. Like, okay, cool. He's not as intimidating as we thought. They've been awesome. I mean, the old ownership was great, but they've been, bit of a younger couple, breathe a bit of new life into the building.
Totally.
It sounds like a good transition. As you said, it seems like the tasting room opened as they kind of took over as well when you got your pilot system. So a little young blood breathing into the industry probably is helpful for you guys. It sounds like it's working.
Yeah. Doors are still open, so that's good.
I was talking beer-wise, but...
Okay. No, it's been working well beer-wise for sure.
It's a tough time business-wise, and everybody's been feeling it over the last year. And hopefully we'll be out of it soon, but
I don't think it probably hurts Nelson Brewing as much because you guys are not focused on the tasting room, right?
Yeah.
No, yeah, to be honest, I mean, like, our hearts really go out to our friends who own brew pubs and bars and restaurants because we're pretty production oriented, so we have pretty good lines of distribution packaged beer.
Yeah,
so I mean what we've lost in draft has definitely been made up in package for us, which is the COVID trend, so we fall into that category pretty well, and we're really lucky, you know, just to have that those good lines of distribution. And so the Nelson Brewing Company has been really lucky. This model of, you know, not being super your room oriented and reliant on that for beer sales has been really good for us. Yeah. But yeah,
there's a few breweries who have done okay, who haven't seen that much of a difference in business through this.
Yeah.
And I'm the one that comes to mind immediately is Daggerad. Again, sure. a production focused brewery. They don't necessarily rely on their tasting room, and they're in the same boat. I think they've had a record winter, but, you know, a lot of people have had to shift to the packaging thing
right? Exactly.
Pivot is definitely the option. Yeah. We joked maybe we do a pivot IPA or something. But
yeah. Not just pivot. And then it's re-pivot and re-pivot and re-pivot.
All of a sudden you got 24 hours notice that you have to close tomorrow. Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Make sure you got enough aluminum cans around. You'll be okay.
Yeah,
the can choice crisis.
I know.
Well, it's funny because you've seen breweries that never said that said they would never can are now canning, right? Places like Storm are selling cans. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's an amazing shift for those guys, though. I'm so glad that they're finding a way to keep it.
They
going.
Had to.
Yeah.
It's the only way to survive this thing.
So pivot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is there any plans at all to possibly expand your tasting room at all in the future?
Yeah, I mean, nothing official, but there's do we talk about it a lot? For sure we do. I mean, we've always are thinking about how we could, you know, because we love that, like, our tasting room, as small as it is actually done, and it wasn't supposed to ever be a big part of the business plan, but it actually has done very well for us on such a small scale. We're like, oh, okay, well, like, if we can only sell 12 ounces and this is going well. And as brewers, we really appreciate the face-to-face feedback. You know, like, it's one thing to send your beer away and talk to people and read reviews, but it's really nice to get that live feed
audience feedback of your beer. And so, I mean, I love the direct selling at the room. So it's definitely a discussion constantly about doing it. But, you know, in Nelson, it's just about finding the right space and the right room and, you know, something that would represent a good feel for our brewery. So yeah, no, there is discussion about it, but there's definitely nothing formalized. And
yeah, we're kind of the brewery building as it is, with it being a heritage building, we're pretty tied into, like, we're, the patio goes right onto the road and we can't expand past that. So it would have to be a second location situation. So it's more of a bigger conversation, but obviously we would love another brewery and a 50 person tap room and patio. And
yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. Apparently zoning is a thing and we're not really zoned in a good area.
No. Yeah. You're basically residential up there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And we'd have to service a parking lot for every two customers, and it's not in our current location. It's not very ideal, but, We're happy to have, like, at least a point of contact with customers there. So when people come up for a beer, we don't have to at least turn them down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can at least give them a beer.
I think that's kind of the fun of the place is, you know, tracking it down. And you're not walking down Main Street and running into it accidentally. I mean, you sort of have to be exploring the town or know that it's there to you know, come across it, right?
For sure. And the neighborhood loves it.
Yeah, I bet.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. I mean, if I live two blocks away, I'd love it too.
Yeah. and we've loved it too. It's been awesome to have just that, you know, point of contact with people and a place for us to have a beer with after work.
It's awesome, like, finishing your shift and going down to the tap room and having people in there having a good time, enjoying your beer, wanting to chat about the beers, wanting to know what's coming up next. And so we'll always have the customer at the heart of everything we do. Hopefully in the future that will mean maybe another space with more customer. I don't know. But right now, you know, it's COVID. It's a little weird.
Not well, the right time to be expanding or opening.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that might make some spaces available. But
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I hope not. But yeah, it's, you know. It's hard. Nelson's a small town, so we're pretty close and friendly with all the local businesses here. So we're hoping everyone seems to be doing pretty well, but it just, yeah, time will tell.
I think you guys will be okay being a smaller community. It seems like everybody in smaller communities seem to back one another. So hopefully everything will float, not like Vancouver where people are dropping left, right, center because there's just not enough.
Yeah. Well, I think when things go bad in the big cities, everyone goes chain. So
Well, Nelson, the locals support the locals, so you'll always be fine out there.
Totally, yeah. The locals are definitely a driving force behind even like the decision to go organic as a brewery was because our local community. That's what they want. That's what they're looking. They're looking for a healthier choice, a more sustainable, environmentally friendly choice. So it's you know, our locals are always behind us.
Yeah,
definitely.
Do we want to throw out all the social media addresses and all that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can follow us at Nelson Brewing Company on Instagram, Nelson Brewing Company on Facebook, and Nelson Brewing Company on LinkedIn too. Please check us out.
I guess what's the address of the brewery too for people that are within your health region currently?
Yeah, it's 512 Latimer Street, V1L149.
Thanks. I was like, I don't know the number.
You're still new.
I used to live here for 3 years, so I got up pretty damn high.
No doubt. Yeah, I've actually been on that rooftop patio and seen the little patio for that suite, so I know where you lived.
Yeah, sweet. Well, if you guys, you know, once the travel bans are lifted, if you guys come by, we'll make sure we sneak up to that rooftop patio.
Yeah, I'd love to. I love the Kootenays.
And if you want to do a pilot batch with Pacific Beer Chat, we won't say no to that either.
Yeah.
Collaboration.
Yeah, cool. Sales and marketing would be all over that. Right?
Well, I mean, most of us are home brewers, and one of us used to be a commercial brewer, Warren.
Oh, yeah. We got recipes. Don't worry.
And ideas.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. Yeah, no, that'd be fun to collaborate. We'll get your ingredients and then find them organically.
Yeah. Put you through the ringer.
Yeah, no doubt.
Exactly.
Yeah, don't pick anything too crazy, okay?
Oh, damn it.
It sounds like you guys are doing pretty damn good with freaking berry smoothies and everything. I'm excited to see all these new ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they get in your hands for sure.
Oh, I'll find them.
Well, I guess before we get closed out, Jordan should ask his question here.
Uh-oh. Oh, here we go. All right, we're going to start off with you, Simon, since you're the brewer. I'm going to give Warren a break this time. out of the three beers we drank tonight, man, which would you say is your favorite?
Yeah, it's funny. The favorite beer question gets asked a lot, and the answer changes a lot. But I stand by my statement earlier where I think, like, brewers are really into low ABV beers, I find. The more brewers I talk to, I'm amazed at how they like session ales. And I think I love the Happy Camper right now. It's my go-to summer beer. So I'm going to go with Happy Camper. But I just am also, I'm pretty big into low alcohol flavorful beers. That's kind of my...
Makes sense.
Yeah, so the Happy Camper is... Right now, probably my favorite beer. I'm Beauty. Big. Yeah, that's the answer to that one.
All right, Sophia, same question. You can tell me why, too, if you feel like it.
Yeah. So I'm going to say the Asker Panther. I'm a lager lass through and through. Whether that be a light lager or a dark lager, I'm on the lager bus. And this is just so complex. It's so flavorful. It's so meaty almost. It's like there's so much to it, so much body. The head retention is sensational. Astro Panther, it's a flavor bomb for sure, but a light, easy drinking flavor bomb.
Nice. All right, Cam, since you're here for a change, let's hear your opinion.
Well, my answer depends on... So if I'm going... for something I'm going to drink all day, I'm taking that happy camper. Cause like, like the name is exactly what it's for. Like I could drink that when I wake up by the fire until the end of the night by the fire.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm picking one that I had, like if I had to pick one and that's the only thing I get to drink for that day, it's going to be the Astro Panther.
There you go. Nice. All right, Warren, we'll jump to you. Normally you're first, but here you are, number four.
Well, you know, they were all really good.
Definitely.
And my pick isn't based strictly on which one I actually thought was the best. I'm going to have to go with the Oba, the Old Brewery Ale. Part of it, because the labeling is... freaking fantastic, partly because it's super nostalgic and I used to drink the Oba, and partly because it was delicious and it was a bit of a throwback, kind of reminded me of the olden days and all that kind of stuff.
Nice. Well, Mike, you know the question, let's hear the answer.
I really enjoyed all three. I think I enjoyed the OBA quite a bit, but I think I'm going to go with the Astro Panther too. I've been homebrewing darker beers a little bit more recently, and I just like sort of stouts and everything, and I like the roast and kind of the coffee notes and everything on this beer, so I'm going to go with that one, I think.
But I picked a lager, guys.
Yeah, but it's not a yellow fizzy lager, for fuck's sake.
We'll put that on repeat now.
You know, I'll give them this though. It was a little fruitier than that, than a normal lager, so to speak. It wasn't as crispy.
It's roasty. It's coffee.
Yeah. It's got a lot of those other things that Mike's looking for.
Like was said all before, all three were delicious. I mean, the Old Pale Ale was really nice, super crushable. That Happy Camper, like Cam said, is basically a Happy Camper. I could smash those like Stone Cold Steve Austin in the middle of the ring. But for me, I'm going with the, what's it called?
The Astro Panther.
Astro Panther, pardon me.
It's delicious. It's different. It's interesting.
I enjoyed the little coffee malty taste. It wasn't like harsh coffee, but then that berry in the background just was like, it just pulled everything together for me flavor-wise. I loved it. Yeah. Plus the can art's cool as fuck.
It is pretty cool. Very different for Nelson.
Yeah. I like it. That's what I'm going with.
Well, it sounds like the big winner here is Astro Panther. So, unfortunately, it's a limited release. So, if you can't find it, too bad.
Look harder.
Yeah, look harder. Look for the next Panther.
So, do you guys have on your website, do you have beer locations at like certain stores or anything like that? Do you know?
We don't at the moment, but it is something that we're working towards. But
okay,
moment,
cool.
If you're stuck finding a beer, then you can call us or you can email me. So favoritenelsonbrewing.com.
Hit you up on social media or anything?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm on Instagram, and I'll be more than happy to point you in the direction of our beer. But it's usually at the big hitters, like Brewery Creek.
Legacy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Those guys usually hold them.
Yeah, cool. Erica at Brewery Creek's got all the good beers coming in from all around the province. She's hitting it.
Yeah, Erica is a gem. She sent me a Valentine's Day card this year.
I got one too, beauty.
Did she call you a prick?
No. I think she said my family was beautiful and signed it to all of them. I don't think she was talking to me, though.
Okay, I got a cactus that said prick.
Okay, you got that one. I saw she does some amazing stamp work cards. She's an awesome chick.
Yeah, she's super funny. Geez. Super rad, babe. Yeah.
Well, before we close out then, is there anything we missed that you'd like to mention about the brewery?
Oh, man, we'll tell you when you guys visit.
Yeah.
We'll do a live visit.
Live on location.
Yeah. Oh, I would love that. We're planning a bunch of, like, we have so many heritage photos of the brewery in, like, 1912 and, like, so much historical information that the dream for the 30th was to be able to set up kind of, like, almost like a walkthrough museum brewery tour with, like, you know, blown up old photos of how it used to look. And we have so many cool artifacts here. So, yeah, hopefully in the future next year, you guys can visit and get the full NBC 30 years experience.
Yeah. Well, very just, cool. You know, once the health orders lift and everything, it's only a 7 hour and 38 minute drive currently from Vancouver. It's 646 kilometer drive.
I'm just saying, if this health orders are still going on by that time next year, I'm buying everybody like those bubble things and we're just going to roll to Nelson.
Heck yeah. How long will that take?
John Travolta, boy in the bubble shit.
According to Google Maps, it's a 5 day walk to Nelson from here.
Well, that's nothing.
Our calves will be swole, boys. We can do it.
Swollen.
Oh no, I say swole. I'm a culture boy.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks
for
having us.
Oh, weird.
Our pleasure. Well,
say hi to Al for me.
Yeah, have a great night.
For sure. We will. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
Our pleasure.
Cheers.
Bye.
If you'd like to support us, you can go to patreon.com/PacificBeerChat. Shout out to our supporters, Steve and the Indie Beer Show.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at PacificBeerChat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@PacificBeerChat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.
guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.